forward a little bit, that would be great. So today is our last Sunday that we're going to be talking about grief and different ways that people have gone through it themselves. So it was about the time for school to start, maybe the end of first week, several years ago. And as a family member, you get the phone call that you never want, is that your nephew has died. And so I immediately did lesson plans for a week. My colleagues covered for me. My principal was great. I got on a plane and flew to Canada. My little sister had already gotten there. Since she's from Washington, she get there a little bit quicker. And we stood beside my sister Sue and her husband Paul. And so today, Sue is going to talk about grieving from a whole different perspective, about from someone who has lost someone because they've taken their life. So this is my sister Sue.
Hi.
Hello, Sue.
Thank you. Hi. So on August 24th, 1996, 2 o'clock in the morning, the doorbell rang and I scrambled to get a bathrobe on and get down our stairs. And we live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, so that's north of Montana. And there was two City of Calgary police standing at our door, a lady and a man. And they said that our car was found on fire 70 miles north of Calgary, near Banff, Alberta, if you guys are familiar with that place. And I just knew that, so our son, our 18-year-old son, Jake, had gone to work Saturday afternoon at a restaurant, and I just knew that somebody had stolen our car, that, you know, that couldn't be our son. So I told the policeman I was going to get in the car and go out to Joy's Only, that was the restaurant, and find out where my son was. And he said, you let us do that. You stay here and we'll come back. So that was the beginning of our new life. Our change of life. They did come back. We called our minister, and he stayed with us all night long until he had to get up and go preach a sermon that Sunday morning. They moved the body that I still didn't believe was our son, brought it into the city. We live in a city of 1 million people. And on Monday, we did indeed find out that was our son, Jake. The car had caught on fire. He didn't light the fire. Jake took his life by taking Nitol and a wine cooler. The RCMP investigated the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, investigated the car to make sure that this wasn't a murder. It was not. The car just caught on fire. So Tina has asked me to share with you what is helpful and what is not to a grieving person. I'm going to say that our story is a little bit different because our story is a tragedy, not as opposed to when we lost our mother and our father and our aunt. By natural causes. So some things that helped. We were close to our minister. His name is Rick, and he just walked through those early days with us. I know that you guys have already heard her talk about funeral homes and that type of thing, and he did all that homework for us. We didn't have to do that. We just had to make a final decision on the final arrangements. I want to say that on that Sunday, our church family, and I heard Russ say this morning how important it is to have a community in place. And our community was in place. Our church family descended on us. They got beds ready for an incoming family. They did laundry. They brought food. They just surrounded us by looking after us. So the funeral came and went. Paul and I took 2 weeks off. Paul isn't here this morning, by the way, because he's injured his back. So he's at home in bed at their house. After 2 weeks passed, he thought that it was time for us to go back to work. And I'm just going to be real candid here with you. I went kicking and screaming. I didn't want to go to work, back to work. I wanted to die. This was my youngest child. And we do have two older children, one that does not live in Calgary and a daughter and her family that did. I just didn't care. I just wanted to die. But he insisted that we went back to work, and so we did. Paul to his white-collar job. I am a floral designer by trade. And so my boss was amazing. She was understanding. She was just great. She just let me be who I needed to be. I want to say that Tina had to come back to work. Our baby sister came back a month later. That was really helpful because it gave us something to look forward to. We just collapsed. I just want to say we just collapsed. I was teaching a ladies' Bible study at the time, a young mom's Bible study, and I told Paul, I said, I just can't do this. And he said, yeah, I think you can. He said, you just go and do the best you can, and your young women are going to look after you. And they did. They really did. We live on a hill, and I drove down that hill every Monday morning saying, God, this is your class. I've got nothing. And he just provided, they provided, and got me through it. Let's see. I want to say in that first, I guess I just have a disclaimer here. I've been asked to talk about what's helpful and what's not. It's difficult for me to ferret out my story from what was helpful and what was not. So you're just going to get the real meal deal today. That first week when Tina and family was there, every morning at 8 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and here was our best friend Harvey with a loaf of hot bread. Just a loaf of hot bread. Just meant so much to us that he came and looked after us like that. The ladies prepared evening meals for us for over a week. They also, our daughter and her family that lived 10 minutes away, meals were prepared for her too. Our daughter's name is Katie. Jake, our deceased son, and Katie were very, very close, so it just knocked her down like you wouldn't believe. We went to a grief counselor. It was suggested that we go to a grief counselor. And you're going to get an insight into my personality. I went to that kicking and screaming too. I just thought, what is she going to do? Our son is gone. What is she going to do? But I went kicking and screaming. Paul and I went for several months. And I do recommend it. What was good for that was she just, we would say, da, da, da. Yes, that's normal. well, what about da, da, da? Yes, that's normal. And she just helped us, I think, offload some weight. The pain, you guys, was just incredible. Visceral pain, mental pain. Paul and I went to bed crying, and we woke up crying. I want to say that in all of this, I never felt like God left us. I know for some people, they do feel like God goes silent. I never felt that. Honestly, I know you've heard this before. It's not a cliche that I don't know how people without the Lord do this. I don't, because we had the Lord and we felt like we were just making it moment by moment. Our counselor would not allow us to do if-onlys. If only if I tried harder. If only I'd been a better parent. If only I'd attended more, you know, whatevers. She said, you just cannot do that to yourself. I'm assuming lots of you are parents. You know that you do the best you can with what you have today. And when you have more, you do better. So I just wanted to say that. She assured us that I just thought I'm losing my mind. She assured us. So on that note, I want to tell you about, and this is kind of not in sequential order, okay? I want to tell you about where I thought, oh, maybe I'm losing my mind. This was several months after Jake went home. I was lying on a physical therapy table, with my back full of acupuncture needles. I had so much pain in my back, and my therapist had said, Sue, you're holding your grief in your back. And he said, I can't do anything more for you. Will you try acupuncture? And I said, oh, no, I don't do needles. And he said, okay. So later in the week, I called him, and I said, okay, Jeff, I'll try it. Can we stop if it's too terrible? Yeah, yeah. So here I am laying face down in a very, not noisy, but busy physio area, tables divided by curtains. So I'm laying there, not asleep. I'm aware that where I am, not asleep. And I have this, I'm going to call it an experience. I am in the bayou. Spanish moss hanging, pools of water. And I see this guy over there, typical bayou guy with a floppy hat, face down. And he gets up to walk. And this is ugly bayou. Don't miss the parallels here, okay? I'm walking. Then we walk out into a meadow. He has Jake. This guy has Jake. He's got his arm around Jake. I wanted desperately to see Jake. I never have had a dream about him. I wanted desperately to see Jake, my 18-year-old boy. He never turned around to me, but I knew that this guy was Jesus. They're walking up the meadow, out of the bayou, into the flowers, up a meadow. And I heard Jake say to me, come on, Mom, you can do this. I counted that as a gift. Come on, Mom, you can do that, this. I had another event. So it got to be winter in Calgary, and we have snow and cold. And on a day off, we live across the street from a ravine. And I decided that I needed to go out and walk. It would be good for me. And so I bundled up, and I'm walking on my usual path to the ravine, and I get over here to this one spot, and you have to go down and then go up. And I thought, I'm not sure I can make that today. But step by step, I decided to go down. And I got down, I made it, and I made it back up. Just another event, experience, to say that this is hard, it's cold, it's lonely, but you can do this. You can do this. So I told our grief counselor about that. She said, you're not crazy. You know, because you're just thinking, I'm just going to lose it here. I just don't know how to put one foot in front of the other. So another time when we were with the grief counselor, and this is a takeaway for you, we were afraid that our daughter wasn't grieving. And she had little kids and was busy. So I asked our grief counselor, I said, how can we help her? And she said, what you're going to do is you're going to talk about Jake. As you talk about Jake, that helps Katie to grieve. So we did. We talked about Jake in front of her. Empathy. Do you know the definition of empathy? It's different than sympathy. Our dictionary says that empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another, to sense another person's emotions, and imagine what they might be feeling. So these are some things that I want to share with you. Some do's and don'ts. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to write a card or take a meal or pick up the phone, don't blow that off. Well, I might not know them very well. Oh, I don't want to bother them. No, don't do that. Take the card, take the meal, make the phone call. About 2 weeks ago, Andy talked to us about things to do, and one thing that he said to do was hush. I so agree with that. A grieving person needs to be listened to. They need to be hugged. They need to be come alongside. They don't need your story about when your mom died. They don't need that. It's their time. They need to hear. They need to listen. They need for you to listen and for you to nod and say, I'm sorry. And don't say, oh, I understand perfectly. You don't. I don't understand perfectly of this person that's lost their son. Maybe he died of leukemia. I have a friend whose son died of leukemia. Her situation and mine, way different. Lots of similarities, but way different. You know the scripture that says, weep with those that weep? It's a really good thing that you can do with your person that you're trying to comfort. Don't choke it back. Cry with them. Hold them. Affirm that it's okay that they're not okay right now. They're not okay. They don't have to be okay. I was sitting in a Bible study a couple years ago, and my classmate over here was talking about a lady that lost her son, and it was 2 years out, and she wasn't over it. And she said, what's the matter with her? Why isn't she over it? And we said, that's too soon. I asked the grief counselor, how long am I going to feel this way? You're not going to believe what she said. 5 years. 5 years before you can get some momentum. I remember the first couple weeks We had this lady come to visit us. Didn't know her hardly at all. She stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. That's not a good thing to do, guys. I just got to the point where I just wanted to be by myself. I wanted my own space back. But I'm too polite to say it's time for you to go now, you know. Yeah, make the visits short but reasonable, and you're going to have to gauge that, however close or not close you are to this person. We had another friend that took us on an outing, and it was too long. He took us to lunch, and then we did a drive, and it was too long. I just wanted to go home. So just keep those and keep that in mind. Do be present. It is uncomfortable. You know, lots of times you don't know what to do with this person. By being present, you're doing it. Look them in the eye. Some don'ts. Here's some don'ts that I had said to me. Well, you still have Katie and Sean. You still have Paul. And that's all true. It's all good. But I didn't have my Jake. I didn't have him. Well, it was their time to die. You know, honestly, I'm just going to be frank. I wanted to slap him. You know, it's like, really? Yes. Heaven has another angel. Yes, they do. But I want my boy. You know? God wanted him with him. Probably true. But that's not an appropriate thing to say. I mentioned about, well, they're going to compare. You're going to compare your story with theirs. Not today. Not today, okay? And probably refrain from advice. I am saying that, but one piece of advice that a previous minister, he called and loved on us, and he said, Paul and Sue, I want you to make me a promise. I don't want you to make any major decisions for 12 months. That was good advice. That was really good advice. I want to talk about guilt for a minute. Guilt and shame were big. I wasn't a good enough mom. There's that if only again. So this guilt and shame come. And again, just the pain. The pain is wounding. It's like a gaping hole, and it's big, and it feels like your innards are coming out. It's just like nothing you've ever experienced, and I don't want you to experience. I think that's all I have. Now, what do you want to ask me?
That's not necessarily a good thing to say, I know how you're feeling. I think maybe you might have said that, but nobody knows how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own way of feeling in situations, mm-hmm. and so you don't know how they're feeling.
Yeah. I do want to say that even Paul and I grieved differently. I still remember Jake's birthday. It's coming up. It's April 23rd. I remember the day that he died. Our daughter, she said, I remember Jake all along, Mom. You know, the firsts were hard. The first Christmas, the first birthday, the first date that he died. The first date that we died, I was sitting in church, crying my eyes out, and I felt some hands just hold me from behind, It was my friend Glenda. She just held me. Didn't say a word. Just held me. Yes.
So I guess studies show, Miss Sue, that 50%, or it might be greater now, of couples that lose a child end up splitting up. So any comments or maybe words of insight? I don't know if how to prevent that is a proper question,
yeah.
but maybe a little insight on maybe how you and Paul held it together between you two, if that's not too personal.
No, thank you.
Okay.
No, I will address that. We did grieve differently. And we just seemed to let each other be in each other's space. I'll just tell you some things that we did, rightly or wrongly. Those first days, we drove together to work, about a half-hour drive into the downtown core. We sang hymns all the way. We went to sleep holding each other. I have to keep it together here. Singing Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on us. And Paul had his guy friends that did a good job of supporting him. And we, you know, we're at church as you guys are every time the doors open. And I don't know how God kept us together, because that is our fact. That many, many marriages just, you know, I will comment on right now. I have a friend that her son died during COVID, and she blames herself that if she'd just done something else. And they are just like this, and it's heartbreaking to see. It's heartbreaking to see. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. That was my fear. I didn't want Jake to be forgotten. He was here. He was our kid. And I didn't want him to be forgotten. And so I have one friend, Leah, that she knew when Jake's birthday was, and so she would send me a card and say, "I'm remembering that it's Jake's birthday today." And several of my friends remember the homegoing date, including my precious sisters, that I want to say I don't know what I would have done without my family. We are very close, and so it's important to, you know, make a note somewhere that was their homegoing date and remember it, and their birthday. And because you can know that that family is having a tough day that day. Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about Jacob's friends and how they kept coming?
So Jacob just graduated from high school that year. And the funeral, there's a lot of kids from school there. And teachers, junior high teachers and way back teachers. And the kids came over and would support us. They brought us flowers. He had a very serious girlfriend at the time that, I'm not sure what you're wanting to say. Is that what you're wanting me to say?
And his friend that year after year after year after year would come over.
Yeah, yeah. Would remember and come. Yeah.
That's all right.
Anything? Yeah. Okay. I hope that was helpful. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
In case somebody asked me a question.
Oh.
should have done that before. Class. Thank you, Sue, for coming out and sharing with us that something that is so personal and emotional, and I know a lot of people have been through different things and also been there to support people, and it's some very good information to have and take with us. Prayer requests. I've got one. Cheryl Atkinson's mother, is pacemaker tomorrow. She's getting a pacemaker tomorrow, so if you would keep her in your prayers. It's Olivia Olive Moser. Anybody else have anything? Jeff?
Yes.
Sure. So it's in a roundabout way, Jeff's really saying, hey, pray for me this week. Cook, that means like Slim Chickens and Logan's, and does Logan's even exist anymore? Whataburger. You're either a Whataburger fan or you're not a Whataburger fan. Oh, okay. All right, gentlemen. Darlene, step in. Anybody else have anything? Oh. Gotta look, see if we have, I think we have a birthday this week. Or last week. Or, I should have done that. I got too entrenched in the, I get in here and. That's right. Anybody else have anything, prayer request, a reminder's good. I'm getting to that. I'm trying to. I can't do but one thing at a time. I know I'm old now. Okay, what is today? The 26th. Did we get David's birthday last week? David Osborne? I don't see him in here. No, I don't see it. Well, he didn't get it anyway. So if it was this week, and he was last week. And then anniversary, George and Amy Fortner, or was yesterday? Was today's 26th, right? I saw George earlier. Where? Oh, there he is in the very, very back. Happy anniversary. All right. Now, the lift class, our lift class did the, was it Valentine's? For Valentine's, we sent care packages and stuff to our college age kids. And so this is a card from some of them anyway, because some of them were not able to sign the card because they're not locally in the area. So thank you so much for the cards. It says, I love the live class. Jake Bell, thank you, Caroline. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate getting a letter. It's nice to have people thinking of you. Chloe, thank you all. Nicholas Neighbors, thank you so much. Noah, and I'm going to start reading them over again, so I think I got them all. I think I went in the right motion. It's great to, especially for the local kids, to be able to give us a little card. It'd be nice if maybe some of the further away kids might send us one, but it's all right. They are college kids. Anybody else? Anything? Don Allen's going to lead us in a prayer to end us out.
Let's pray. Father God, we're so blessed to be able to be here today as a family. We pray that from this series that we've had, that we were able to get something out of it, and just we're thankful for today that she was able to share, and I can't imagine losing someone and then having to bring it back up again. But we're all different, and we know that you are with us. You know that will keep us strong. We just have to have faith. We're pray for those that are sick. We pray for Darlene's surgery. We pray that things go well and that you'll be with Jeff. We pray that you'll just watch over all of us, keep us safe through this day, and forgive us for our sin. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I've got hers. I've got this. Let me turn it off.
Teaching next week.